Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, it's Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-678-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, timeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so the blog did appear over there yesterday morning. Hopefully you manage to get over there and read it. If not, hey, swing on over there. It's there waiting for you. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link. That'll take you to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with three of those E's.
Before I forget, Dan, I want to remind everybody, we do have fantasy hockey. You know, I know they're talking about trying to start the season around the January 5th. If you want to get in on the Sports Time Radio Hockey League, just email us. Again, that's sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. We run the league through Yahoo. It is totally free. It's just for bragging rights. And, you know, we'll send you the link to sign up and get in there and join. I know we're at 15 right now. We've had three people sign up new this year, and three people from last year drop out. So we're even at 15. So there's five spots if you want to get in. You know, hop on in and have fun with Dan and I. And I'm sure with the way we played last year, you got a good chance of beating us.
Now, you know, kind of just throwing it out there, were they? Did they drop out, or did you drop them for not playing?
Well, they actually dropped out. You know, and the way we always do it is the bottom five teams, or if there's more, we always remove them because obviously they're not participating. Basically, they just don't change their lineup or however it works out. So I removed the bottom five and left us with 15. And then I got sign up. As soon as I posted the email, I got sign-up. And I was like, oh, okay, good. We're going to get to 20 pretty quickly. This will be enough. And then I had a third person sign up, and it said your league's at 15. I was like, wait, what do you mean my league's at 15? I go in and check it because I don't get emails when somebody drops out, only when somebody signs up. So sure enough, we gained three new people. We lost three people from last year. So
that's interesting. You know, that's the one thing I don't fully understand why Yahoo doesn't send you that people have dropped. Because, I mean, there's been times where we've had a full league, and I think it was with baseball. And, you know, then we get to the couple days, the day before the draft, and I'm like, you only have 19 teams. You need, and I'm like, well, yeah. When did they drop? You should have let me, you know, if you sent an email, I would have been pushing out the invites again because, you know, I think that's one of the attractive things that even though our leagues are generally 20 teams, the fact that there's no money involved, I think is an encouragement.
Yeah, here I'm looking at it right now, and we just lost another team from last year, so we're now down to 14. So
Wow. If
you're, you know, you're interested in hockey, you know, jump in and sign up again, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com and, you know, go ahead and, you know, play in our league with us. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. So we'll see.
I think what I think is interesting too, is that we had a pretty competitive league, so I wonder if it's just guys who are just not interested, or don't think the league's going to play at all.
Yeah, you know, and you do wonder if maybe that is it, if it's just possible that people don't feel that we're going to have a season. So, you know, that definitely could be an issue. So, you know, we'll have to kind of wait and see how that works out. But yeah, you know, if, like I said, if you're interested, you know, definitely jump in and, you know, see what you can do against us. So,
on the super
we'll see. We'll have to send out some invites.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say the exciting news is we do have our NBA draft, basketball draft, Saturday night. Huh?
Yes. It did end up being Saturday, right? Let me check while I'm here. And yeah, that league is full. We're okay there. That league filled up luckily pretty well. Yeah, at 6:45 on Saturday, we are all set and ready to go. And we, you know, I think last year we ended up, didn't we end up with like a Yahoo run team? Didn't we end up with like 19? But this year we have 20, so we're okay. We're all set basketball.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting how Yahoo did that. Whatever. I mean, at least we got our 20 teams.
Yeah, now I just have to remember that we have a draft. Make sure I'm awake and ready to go. So,
yes.
So there's no issue. And, you know, while we're on fantasy, are you in the playoffs this week? Or, yeah, you're in for the auction league, right?
Yes, I am. And do some talking, I'm going to do some checking.
Yeah, I actually ended up as the number one seed in the auction league. I finished 12-2. Dan finished fourth. He's 10-4. So I am taking on the last team to get in, which is the eighth place team. Dan, of course, has the tougher matchup. He has to take on the fifth place team, which finished 9-5. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I know technically right now I am forecasted, but, you know, it's been a weird fantasy football year, as you know, if you play fantasy football with, you know, COVID and everything going on. It hasn't been the easiest year to manage. So, you know, you've got to make sure you're on top of everything and kind of hope that you don't get a late change. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and I fell to fourth all because I forgot to put one guy in. Well, one day. But then again, you know, last week, and, you know, I don't even know if we brought that up, Big Jack, but, you know, hopefully this week is better for me because I went up against Secret Squirrel for the finale. And, my defense gave me -2 points, but he ended up dominating me 201 to 112. So had my last guy, I forget who it was, but it was Kareem Hunt. You know, Kareem Hunt put up 26 points. So he doubled what they anticipated, but had he not put up that extra, I would have been just 100 points, you know. So I don't know what happened. Matt Ryan was off. Seattle, Ty Lockett wasn't getting anything. McLaurin from Washington, nothing. Adam Thielen, 6 points. You know, Zach Ertz, 2 points. You know, Young Hoku, only 6 points this week. He's been like 12, 14, 18, 20, you know. So it's, I don't know. I'm hoping for a dominant week this week because, just like you said, going up against the number 5, I'm already projected to lose. So, see how that goes.
Yeah, we'll have to see. I had kind of an average week last week. I won 155 to 128. Generally, and this is just not because it's me, but generally in our leagues, the team that wins the regular season does not win in the playoffs. Honestly, I think the last guy to do it was Mr. Fantasy. He won the regular season and then won the playoffs. So, and that was a couple of years ago. Now he hasn't played seriously in 2 or 3 years with us. So I'm a tad bit concerned about being able to get through the playoffs. And, like I was saying, it's been a weird year, with everything, everything going on. So you just got to kind of hope. And luckily I don't have any serious injuries or COVID test results right now. It looks like we might have to go without Keenan Allen. That's my big thing. I'll have to keep an eye on that one. But other than that, that team is healthy. And then in the Snake League, where I was supposed to dominate, remember, Dan, I got the A, and I was going to run away with that league. Didn't make the playoffs. I finished 7-7, because I did manage to win last week. So I got the 500. But, yeah, I'm a non-playoff guy. How did you do over there?
I already closed that app out. I am definitely a non-playoff team. So much so that Yahoo took the team. No, I'm just kidding. I ended up finishing, please don't delete me, but 16th out of 20.
Oh, wow. So you're out of the league next year. Okay. Oh. So
yeah.
Yeah, to be fair, I did just miss the playoffs by one game, because the last playoff slots were 8-6. So it was a pretty competitive league this year. But, yeah, I got Christian McCaffrey with the first pick, and he's played, I think, two games or three games this season. So it was just one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I kind of felt like I just had a better draft with the Snake League, but everyone just got hurt. I thought Garoppolo was just going to put up, again, not have this monster like Tom Brady season or anything like that, but I just figured he would play a full season, and he didn't. And then when that failed on me and I was able to make a trade to get Nick Foles, and I don't think I have to explain to you what happened there either. So I think for the last 2 weeks, I played without a quarterback. So that was exciting. I mean, I changed my lineups to keep competitive against, whoever I was up against. But, I pretty much gave up on that team once I knew Jimmy was not coming back.
I kept up with it, hoping I was going to get McCaffrey back. And I was kind of hoping for one of these things where I could sneak in, as the seventh or the eighth seed, take 8 out of 20, get in our league. And he came back. He played one game, and he got hurt in that game. So it was just kind of like, got it. It's just not my year. And, the number one pick, and the same thing happened to Mr. Fantasy and I in our money league. For the first time ever, we got the number one pick. We take Christian McCaffrey, and obviously we're dealing with the same things I'm dealing with. So it was just if you had the number one pick, he was pretty much the consensus number one pick, so everybody dealt with it. And injuries are part of the game, but man, you get an injury in a 20 team league, and especially when you start two running backs, it can be devastating, and it was to me. I mean, luckily I managed to win 7 games, but it wasn't anywhere close to the season I thought it was going to be.
No, and just to add to it, I had a... Oops. I had Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. He put up some big games. I know he missed a game or two, but, man, he had some big games.
Oh, I mean, you're looking at a guy who, well, it just basically, you know, if I didn't have him on my team, I would have been losing by significant. I mean, there was one week where I think he put up like 40 points.
Yeah. So, but, you know, injuries are part of the game. You know, everybody kind of understands that. It just stinks when, you know, it's you, obviously. You know, so.
Yeah. Just
one of those things, but you know, we'll keep you up with it as, you know, things go on. And, you know, obviously Saturday we'll draft basketball players, and hopefully mid-January we'll be drafting a hockey team. And, you know, again, sign up for that hockey league, sportstimeradiohotmail.com. We'll send you what you need to sign up. So get on over there, take care of that. And let's have some fun playing hockey. But, you know, otherwise, Dan, I know we talked about a little bit about this on Tuesday as we were leaving, that the owners had talked about wanting to push back the start of the baseball season. But I did see today, and I'm hoping this is just a good sign, the managers have been told to plan on starting spring training when it's scheduled to start. So do you take that as, you know, maybe a little bit of a better sign, or what do you kind of see it as?
I take that as a pretty good sign. Just, I got an email that I messed up on. I take it as a good sign, and, you know, but you never know. It could be shut down.
So, yeah, you know, we do still have obviously a couple months before we're going to get there. But, yeah, it's decent that, you know, at least they're talking about getting off, getting off to the proper start. So, you know, we'll see how that one kind of rolls out. And hopefully we get going. I don't know what the other options are, but, you know, we did have a couple other moves. You know, you and I spent some time the other day talking about catching, and we did have another catcher come off the market. Mike Zunino did re-sign with Tampa Bay. Not a huge surprise there. You know, he's a very good fit there, so it's not really a big shock at all that he went back. You know, he worked into the platoon there. Do we have a – it looks like it's 1 year – 1 year, he gets $5 million if he appears in 80 games, and then 90 games his salary goes to $6 million. If he appears in more than 100 or they trade him, it jumps to $7 million. So – that's kind of an interesting deal there. And, you know, Zunino, a power hitting catcher, except, you know, he hit .147 last year, and, you know, that's kind of what you're going to get out of him. He's a .200 career hitter. He does have a lot of power. So depending on how you kind of work that, and his value is more as a defensive guy. He's been very good at keeping runners close and throwing runners out. So that'll help out quite a bit there, but you're not hugely surprised that he ended up going back to Tampa Bay, are you?
No, I mean, that's $6 million. I mean, it's a great deal for them.
You know, and that's the things they do, and you know, it does. You know, not surprising they made this move after McCann came off the market, because, you know, we went through the catchers. So we know there's not a big time, with the exception of JT Realmuto, you know, there's not a big time guy out there. So it's, you know, if you're looking for catching, you need to, you know, if you're going to sign a guy, you need to jump on one of these guys right away. So, you know, and then the other signing the Giants made, this is a kind of an interesting move, especially for their ballpark. They signed Anthony DeSclafani. He's been with the Reds for, 5, 6 years now, 5 years. They got him for 1 year at $6 million. Now, he had a little bit of a rough season last year. He was 1-2 with a 7.22 ERA. But before that, the last full season, he did make 31 starts, had a 3.89 ERA, and went 9-9. Now, DeSclafani's issues is he struggles against lefties. But, Dan, you know, in the Giants ballpark there, and, yes, I almost did call it Candlestick. That's how old I am. But in their ballpark, Dan, you know, lefties, there's a lot of room there. He may actually improve as a Giant. So you, what do you think here? You like this?
Bless you. I think it's a solid signing. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that they're not pushing for another World Series run, even though it's an even year.
Well, you know, they're kind of setting up, you know, what they want to do. The Giants, you know, as I heard today, and I'm trying to double check this here as we chat, they're in a pretty interesting spot. You know, they gave Kevin Gausman when they tag the guy and he can accept, what's it called? Why am I drawing a blank?
Qualifying offer.
Thank you. Yes, he accepted the qualifying offer. But what becomes interesting with the Giants is Johnny Cueto's in the last year of his deal. So is Buster Posey. So is Brandon Belt. And so is Brandon Crawford. Now, Cueto and Posey both have club options. I wouldn't expect them to pick Cueto up at $22 million. You know, Dan, they're really in a position, if they're going to reshape their team, this could kind of be the start of it. Now, I would never expect them to deal Posey. You know, he's the face of the franchise, and I won't be surprised if he's there in 2022. But, you know, there could be a market, especially in the American League, for a guy like Belt. You know, with just the 1 year left on his deal, I don't think the Giants would ask for much. I don't know about the Brandon Crawford market. I guess it's possible somebody could be interested. But do you see the team? Is this the beginning of them? You know, I don't want to say rebuilding because we don't know where they're going, but possibly reshaping what they're going to look like under Farhan Zahidi, who took over, what was it, last year?
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, one of the things I found interesting as I was reading, and I did look into a little, not, you know, I didn't dive too deep, but was the fact that with Buster coming back, I think that, I don't know, I mean, you know, like you said, even just this year alone, the pool of catchers isn't huge to begin with. And that is something that is pretty consistent, I think, year to year from every offseason. Is it's not like, you know, what sometimes the outfielders, the infielders, where you have this huge group of catchers coming up on the market. So I think the Giants would be wise to kind of obviously stick with him, pick up the option, and maybe try to re-sign him, because it doesn't look like, and it was a shortened season, but, you know, the performances that his underlings put out wasn't as great as they had anticipated. And if you are in the option to actually move Belt, which, don't ask me why, but the Angels were the first team that came to mind, you know, you'd still be able to use Buster behind the plate and at first place and, you know, the guys in the waiting. you bring one of them up, maybe even carry both of them if you have to, and try to get a nice tandem with at least the one and two going back and forth, so they're both in the game every day, which would give the younger kids some experience, but also, you know, get him out from behind the plate if he's, you know, having some kind of issues. So, like you said, he might be the one that's most likely traded. And then not only that, depending on where they are at midseason, depending on where midseason falls this year, you know, is that the option where you start looking to maybe not you, but other teams, depending on Cueto's performance? I mean, I follow him on Instagram. You know, he looks good, you know, but again, I think anyone kind of looks good when they're just, you know, out in a regular field, you know what I mean? Not in the stadium, not in the game. So, you know, I mean, I think it's positive for Cueto. He's looking healthy. He's got the arm still. You know, he's got, you know, one thing about him is his delivery is one of the things that's unique to him and has always confused hitters, the way he's able to kind of hide the ball up until that, you know, until his arm goes up. So, you know, depending on playoff situations, you might get a team calling them to try to pull Cueto away, and maybe they might get a little something in return.
So, yeah, you know, at this point, you know, with just the year on the contract, it's always tougher to get, you know, what you think would be proper, you know, depending on how you kind of look at it. But yeah, I think at that point, I mean, if you can get even a couple of low level minor leaguers that may help you out down the road, you know, even if it's way down the road, even if it's 3 or 4 years, it's, you know, it's better than really letting them walk away for nothing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so they'll, you know, they'll be a, you know, kind of an interesting watch, not only coming up at the start of the season, but as the season moves along, to see what they kind of do. So, and you know, we've always kind of had a vague interest in the Giants, I guess you could say. So I'm sure it's something, you know, we'll keep up with as it goes along. But what I have now decided, Dan, and I, you know, and then there's obviously, clearly there's no other way around this, but what I've decided is I am completely sick of hearing the word rebuilding, and I am completely sick of listening to the MLB Network talk about it. And this is my reason why here today, Dan. Today I got to listen to them talk about the Colorado Rockies and how it is time for the Rockies to deal Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story and start all over. All right, Dan. Now, Arenado, counting this year, has 6 deals left on his deal. Story is a free agent after this year, so he's only got the 1 year left. Dan, we went over this the other day. Okay, great. The Rockies are going to tear it down and rebuild. So is every other frickin' team. How many teams are we going to have rebuilding at one time, Dan? Are we going to have 20 or 25? So.
Well, and not only that, I mean, how sick and tired of you hearing about Arenado? And not that I'm tired of hearing about him, but hearing about him, well, you know, locally coming to Chicago to play a position that somebody else already plays that we all anticipate will no longer be with this team, you know, after the season or somewhere in the middle of this, whatever the case is. You know, I mean, how long did we hear about Theo trying to grab that that Baltimore Oriole middle infielder, Brian something?
Roberts?
Come on. Yeah, Brian Roberts. You know, we heard about that for what, 3, 4, almost 5 years? And it never came to fruition. Just like I don't think there's any chance in hell that Arenado's coming here. It's just, yeah, I don't think the Cubs have anything to give the Rockies, unless in the boat to take Brian on for the end of his contract so they can unleash theirs. But
For him to come to Chicago, it would have to be Bryant with multiple prospects, because you're talking – now, to be fair, Arenado can opt out after this season, but I don't know why he would walk away from the contract he's got. I mean, we're looking at $35 million this year and then $35 million for the next three after that. Then it drops to 32 and then 27 in the last year. You would have to be incredibly unhappy to walk away from it. And the market now, I don't think he meets that deal. But, yeah, to come to Chicago, we're talking it would have to be Chris Bryant and probably four quality prospects. And I don't think the Cubs have four quality prospects. What I did find humorous is the White Sox name has come up. Now, the White Sox have a third baseman who looks like he could be the next Nolan Arenado in Yoan Moncada.
Mm-hmm.
Why would the White Sox make that move, Dan? I mean, this makes less sense than the Cubs doing it.
Well, it makes sense when you are a White Sox fan, because for some reason, Tim Anderson could probably hit 400, hit 40 home runs, steal 40 bases, hit 40 triples, and everyone would still hate him. I was just trying to give you some great numbers.
Yeah.
Or I guess to equate it to today's version of baseball, he'll have an OPS of 1,000, an OBS of 1,000, a WAR of 2 million, and all this other good stuff. So, I think that's one of the reasons, but, I think the only way that this could be kind of feasible is the fact that we have a new wild card, and that wild card is Tony La Russa. And we really don't know what, how much pull or where he's going to be with making decisions like that. And is Rick Hahn going to, let him greatly influence it, or, how is their relationship going to be? And, one of the things I had thought about is with the White Sox signing Tony La Russa, and I forgot how long the contract was for, but are we going to see one of those, like that one old guy that came to the Cubs who just fizzled out of nowhere? I can't even think of his name. Lou Piniella. Are we going to have a kind of, do you think that we could have that kind of situation on the South Side?
No, honestly, I believe La Russa is just here to try to get them a World Series, and I think if they win one, he immediately retires. Be it this year or next year, whatever his contract is for, that's it. But now, while we're on Arenado, there are some teams that need third baseman, Dan. And the first one that came to mind, and the team that's been pretty popular to talk about this year, he could be a really nice fit for the Mets. Now, I know currently they have J.D. Davis in the slot. Well, obviously Davis could just go back to the Rockies in whatever deal is made. The Mets do have some prospects. Again, you never know how these guys are going to actually work out. So, it wouldn't be that big of a stretch. And then depending on how the Rockies feel, the Mets could throw in, if they're looking to save some money this year, they could throw in Robinson Cano, who's going to have no salary this year. Then Colorado would have to figure out something to do with him the next couple years. So that's always a possibility. But, like Davis has some time. There's still 3 years of arbitration for him. So there's a lot to work with there as him as the guy coming back with prospects. So, that's kind of interesting to me there. That would be a really big step for the Mets instead of spending all their money, in free agency. And then, of course, anytime there's a big name guy available, the Dodgers come up. Now, obviously, they need a third baseman with Justin Turner as a free agent. I don't know how interested Colorado would be in dealing him into the division, because then they're going to see him over and over. But the Dodgers do have those prospects that everybody wants, Dan. You got a landing spot, or is that what we're looking at?
Well, you know, here's kind of where I was going with it, is that there's a lot of confusion going on in the East Coast with a certain manager and a certain GM, and wouldn't he be a great landing spot since they lost Anthony Rendon in Washington?
So, yeah, that would be another, obvious, interesting place. I do wonder about the Nationals carrying the salary, because, they're carrying some pretty big pitching salaries. So I would wonder if they would want the one more. I guess Scherzer is in the last year of his deal. Now, it does pay him $42-plus million. So it would be a really big payload to carry for this year, but it's definitely an option, especially if they've kind of given up on Carter Kieboom, who was supposed to be the guy last year to step in and couldn't do it. So I guess that's possible. I guess the big question becomes, what goes back? If Kieboom goes back and he is their top prospect, how many more do you have to throw in, and what numbers are you looking at? Are they taking guys outside your top 20? Are you sending four prospects, five prospects? But it's definitely another, another landing spot for him. So that, that could be quite interesting. But, other than that, you start looking around, and I don't know, would there be any other teams in?
The Brewers?
Yeah, well, we know the answer there. They're not taking on that kind of salary. Even if Colorado was, because Colorado's probably not going to pick any of that salary up. They're not going to have to. So I doubt that. But yeah, as you go through, there's, either teams have their guy, maybe Philadelphia, if they're willing to send Alec Baum back in the deal, that could work out, because he's their top third base prospect, and he's the guy who's got the job now. But, other than that, you start running through the American League, and, I guess maybe if the Astros actually did deal Carlos Correa, they could move your guy Alex Bregman to short and bring in Arenado, but now we're talking multiple moves. Mm-hmm. I guess the obvious question becomes, Dan, would the Yankees do it?
Is their third baseman ever going to be healthy? Is he?
Well, remember, Gio Urshela played really well for them last year. So, you got to wonder, would they kind of stick there and spend their money someplace else? Because it looks like they're a little thin rotation-wise, and you don't know if Severino's going to end up coming back. Do they have they don't have a timetable for his return. So here's the Yankees rotation, Dan. This is it right now. It's Gerrit Cole, number one. Then it's Jordan Montgomery, Devi Garcia, Michael King, and Domingo Herman. Do you honestly think when we actually finally do open the season that that's the five people in the Yankees rotation?
No.
Yeah. So I think the Yankees are going to kind of focus. And obviously, I kind of expect Tanaka to come back because I don't know how many other teams are all that interested in him. But so if Tanaka comes back, I fully expect them to add one more starter besides him. You know, maybe it's not Trevor Bauer, but maybe they, you know, they go out and find the next best thing. So I just don't know if they would be interested in that kind of deal right now. So, you know, we're really looking at just the National League teams you and I ran off. You know, so we've got the Nationals, the Phillies, the Cubs, and the Dodgers. I can't come up with another serious landing spot for them. You know, unless Atlanta steps up, would you see maybe the Braves jumping in? You know, because obviously they have the farm system to make the move.
I would. They haven't. They haven't really made any kind of major moves.
No, and you know, I'm looking at their payroll here. Obviously, Freddie Freeman is their highest paid guy, but he's only at a little over $22 million. Now, this is the last year of his deal, so you know that number is going to go up. They have Acuna signed through 2026. They have Albie signed through 2025. So they've got some of their key pieces wrapped up with the exception of Freeman. You know, this could possibly be a good landing spot. It looks like they could handle the dollar value, and you know they've got the rotation. Or not the rotation, they have the prospects to definitely turn this around. You know, you send Austin Riley, who is obviously set to play third base in Atlanta right now. You know, and with him as the key piece of the deal, you probably don't have to give up Christian Pyche, who's your number one guy. So you may actually be able to really work this, as long as the Rockies aren't going nuts and asking for, you know, all your top landing guys, this could be something that may actually work for them. So maybe Atlanta's the best spot. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think? You know, you think they take on a salary of that size?
They haven't. You know, they've in their history, what they've signed their guys, obviously, but they've tried to piece it together. You know, trying to get a two-three year deal out of a guy who has experience.
Yeah, and, you know, not to be fair, they're going to take one of those salaries next year because they're going to want to bring Freeman back. Mm-hmm. And you got to figure he's going to be 25 mil or up, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they are going to take on a deal there. Does it have how old he is here? Yeah, Freeman, he'll be 32. So you got to figure, you know, you're looking at 5 years, maybe six. You know, and then you figure a minimum of 25, so they're looking at, what, 150 mil, 5 years at 150?
That's a nice.
So.
Not a bad deal.
But even so, that'll be the biggest contract they're carrying. They could add a second. You know, with Arenado, you know, that wouldn't really be an issue. You know, and you look at it, man, he could be the guy who puts them over the top. You know, you add Arenado to that lineup, and it looks like Pyche's going to play every day in center field. If he is the prospect they think he is, you add him to Acuna and, you know, Dansby Swanson, who had a really good year. Travis Denald was really good for him, and one of their top prospects is Wilson Contreras' brother, William. He's not far away as a catcher. So, that could make them the World Series favorite, even ahead of the Dodgers in the National League, if they could make a move like this. But I just don't know if they will. Do you?
I don't think they will.
So, and then we mentioned Trevor Story at the start of this. He kind of fits in with a lot of the guys who are in the final year of their contract. I mean, they'll get an average return for him, and it'll have to be a contender when that point in time is right for that team, isn't it? I mean, you don't really see anybody jumping up to grab Trevor Story in a major deal, do you?
No.
So, but yeah, and again, like I said, it's frustrating to me because now, I'm looking at the list of teams here, Dan. We got the Orioles who are rebuilding, the Indians who want to rebuild, the Tigers who are rebuilding, the Royals who are rebuilding, the Mariners who are rebuilding, and it looks like the Rangers are tearing it down. That's six just in the National League. Then we got the Diamondbacks who are clueless, the Reds that I don't know what they're doing, the Marlins are kind of in perpetual rebuild, so are the Pirates. It looks like the Giants may be going that route after this year. We've got 11 teams, not counting the Cubs, who may go through it again. 11 out of what, 30, 32, is it?
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a third of the league is rebuilding. That can't be good for the game, can it? I mean, who wants to watch these teams when they're just ripping it up?
No, I mean, it would be like watching the NBA, where regular season games don't count.
Right. So, I'm just kind of to the point where it's like, why? The Marlins made the playoffs last year. Yeah, do you think the Marlins would have made the playoffs if we'd have played 162 games? No. It wouldn't happen. So, great. It was a fun story. They were 31-29, Dan. They were barely 500. So, it's not like we were talking about it. It's not like they were going to go out and make moves down the stretch to guarantee a playoff spot. I know they picked up Marte, but we'll see how long he lasts there when they get out of the gate 10-20 or 15-30. We'll see how long that lasts. But I don't know. Is it just me? I mean, am I the only one bothered by this?
You can't be. I mean, you got to think locally. I mean, no one cares about the Indians, I guess, because, we already had that conversation. It's disheartening. It's like you said, why would I want to continue to watch? And I mean, that's kind of been one of the things that I never have a problem watching, a Padres-Angels game on the West Coast on a random Friday night or whatever. But at the same time, the way the game is being played out, no offense to you, I don't really, the interest in watching a Seattle Mariners versus Kansas City Royals game is kind of lost.
Really?
Grant? Well, they were just two names I could pick up easily, because they're not doing so well. But the way the game is being conducted now with this whole rebuild thing, I'm going to continue to, carry the MLB.TV. However, I might skip on watching, a lot of the games if I know the teams are in rebuild mode.
Yeah, even not some of all, you and I, I'll watch those, Baltimore, Seattle Mariner games, or, the Pittsburgh Pirates against the Diamondbacks. I end up watching them. But, you know, I start to wonder if you're part of this team, how long can you hang on? You know, I mean, are you really going to continue to buy tickets, especially with what they cost, to go see the Pirates continually rebuild or the Reds trade away their entire starting rotation? You know, I think the Orioles are in the third or fourth year of their rebuild. Are they really any closer to the Yankees and the Rays than they were when they started the rebuild? Because I don't see it. Have they made progress?
No, they have not.
Right. So, it's just, you think about it, you know, Baltimore finished 25-35 last year. Their only saving grace was they finished ahead of the Red Sox. But with the injuries the Red Sox had, all they've got to do is get their players healthy to turn that around. So, you know, and I get it. You know, the Orioles, they added some nice draft picks. You know, we got Ryan Mountcastle, who looks like he'll be the everyday this year as they wait out that damn Chris Davis contract. And, you know, they have some pitchers that are in their top 30 prospects that may be there this year. And I know the catcher they drafted last year is moving through their system quickly and is probably only another year or two away. But we're still talking a year or two away. So you ask the Orioles fans to live with two more years of losing? I don't know. You know, how hard is that to do? So, you know, and I mean, you can say the same thing with the Royals and the Pirates and, you know, the Marlins. It's almost like everybody wants to be Tampa Bay and they can't figure it out.
Damn. You know, I mean, you won't hear that on MLB TV, will you? Or MLB Network.
Right.
Because I think you just hit the nail on the head. I mean, you not only hit the nail on the head, you did that one shot, that, you know, that one hammer. I don't know if you've seen that trick before by some great carpenters where they could just put a nail in, boom, and it's in, you know, one shot. That's what you just did. And I guess I never even put that, you know, thought about that. And you're right. You know, I mean, I think Theo did a thing, which was what he wanted to do, and he was able to do it because of the CBA structuring and everything. But Tampa has been able to do something completely different year after year after year. And like you said, there's nobody can replicate that.
Yeah. You know, and they've tried. You know, they've hired their front office people. You know, obviously the Cubs brought in their manager. You know, I mean, they've went out and attempted to recreate this. And who knows what it is, but nobody can figure out what they do. So, you know, but here you go, Dan. This article just came up on MLB.com. I was flipping around, so I'm guessing this guy was writing while he was listening to us. It says, a sleeper club that can swing Arenado deal, and he goes with the Mets. So obviously he was just listening to us. I didn't see who wrote it. Let me see if it's on here so we can give the guy some credit at least. Give him some credit for listening to the podcast. Oh, it's a John Paul Morosi article. So there you go. It's nice that he's up and listening to the podcast. So thank you for tuning in. We appreciate that. But, yeah, obviously Cubs fans were long-suffering, but they had Wrigley Field to draw people in. You know, not all the, you know, and I know Baltimore is a nice park and so does Pittsburgh, but not all these parks are fantastic to go to. You know, as we mentioned, Tampa Bay, who wins and can't get people to go to their park. Nobody goes to the Indians games either, even when they were winning. I don't get it, Dan. Is there a, a way, there's really no way for baseball to change this, right? It's just what it is.
It is what it is. I don't think they can institute anything.
So, you know, because I did see, you know, and I know we probably don't have enough time to get into this, but I did see apparently Don Mattingly came out today and said baseball needs to do something about the off season because of the way it progresses so slowly. Let me see if I can hunt that down quickly here. Yeah, it says Mattingly bemoans lack of action and wants change. Now, Dan, you and I have suggested before a free agent signing period. Do you think if they put something like that in, it would make the offseason a little more interesting? You know, you say you can only sign free agents between date A and date B?
I think so. I mean, I think it should go maybe 1 week after the, you know, the starting date. Probably, maybe, I don't know, a week or the day of, the Monday after or whatever day it is, after the winter meetings up until, I don't know. I mean, where do you put that? You know, do you put a deadline on February or do you put it in March? I mean, personally, I personally think it should be January 30th. Or February.
Yeah, I would love to see a February 1st, January 30th deadline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would stop agents from, like Scott Boras and those guys, from dragging out negotiations. You know, the tough part, I guess, then is what happens if a player doesn't sign? Do you put him in that category where he then can't sign with anybody until after the All-Star break? Because I think that would change a lot of the way negotiations are handled, and it would actually give the owners a little bit of power. So, it definitely could be interesting. And obviously, I don't think you could start the period right after the season because, you know, teams have to evaluate and decide, are we going to DFA a guy? Maybe you call it December 1st to February 1st is your free agent signing period. You know, so that mm-hmm. gives you, you know, 2 full months to sign guys. You know, and if you don't know what your team's doing by February 1st, you're lost anyways, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that I would love to see something like, you know, something like that put into where they could, you know, where we could make, you know, make the off season a little more exciting. But I don't know if we'll ever, you know, ever see anything like that. If that has to be a CBA thing, I doubt the owners could ever get that in. Do you?
No, I don't think they'd ever be able to get it in. You'd have to – I mean, what would the players want in order to get something like that? Because like you said a million times, the players' union doesn't want guys to lose jobs. So, I mean, if the owners were, you know, kind of – I don't want to say smart because I think that you kind of put something like this into play and say – you know, the DH is in, you know, and include some other things that the players might be asking for. I mean, that's one of the hard things for me is when you look into the CBA real quickly and you see what the players do get aside from or on top of their contracts, hotels, food, accommodations, the whole 9 yards. You're like,
yeah.
What else do you guys need?
Hey, look, stop on the screen. Thank you very much for doing that. We do it for your numbers.
podcast is available to listen to anytime you want. Tune in.